Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. Cole Pepper here at Jaguars Central, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, who I heard made excellent time to and from New York on the flight. What do you mean? You're puzzled. My sources, my deeply placed sources, told me that the tailwind up there made the flight up to New York like an hour and 22.
Is that right?
Yeah. You didn't even notice. You had it so good and you didn't even notice.
No,
huh?
I did not. We had a great movie on the way up. I never watched the movie, never. But this one I watched, and I'm glad I did. I never heard of it. Robert Duvall was in it. It was outstanding.
So it must be good. And the general manager, Gene Smith. Obviously a tough one yesterday in New York. First time all year the Jaguars have had have been right there and haven't been able to close. What do you think?
Well, I think not being able to close is probably a good way to put it, Cole. When you have 207 yards rushing, you're 63% in third down. You got 26 first downs, 35 and a half minutes time of possession, three plays. Mm-hmm. Scoring three 10-play scoring drives. There's no way you say you come out of the game with a loss.
So how did they lose?
Well, you could break it down to a number of different reasons. We didn't play well enough for four quarters. I thought there was some very good play offensively, defensively, and even in the kicking game at times. We just didn't put it all together for four quarters to come out with a victory.
Well, you know, what you're saying does leave you to scratch your head because the Jaguars dominated the stats. And I know what the buzz is around town because my inbox is around town. I mean, that's my inbox is the sampling of the fan base, and of course, everyone's up in arms about the play calling. And really, what they're up in arms about is the play call on one particular play, first down at the Giants 29 with 1:51 to play after the holding call that gave the Jaguars a first down and all three times out remaining. The fan base feels very strongly that should have been a run. Now, I've spent all day long, and you know this, Gene, researching this topic. I've talked to experts, real experts, on all fronts. I know for a fact that there was a blitz on that play and that Zach Miller missed a block, a critical miss block, when Mike Sims-Walker was, I've been told, coming open over the middle. And had that block been made, the expectation was that it would have been a completion to Mike Sims-Walker for a big chunky yardage. So I know that we got a missed block on a blitz there that is critical. Would a running play have worked there? Mo had not touched the ball since the 6:50 mark. Mm-hmm. 6:50 was left in the game in the previous possession. So, yeah, I mean, there's nine plays in there where he's not in the game. He has no impact in the game. And, that's a point of contention. It's also got to be remembered that the Jaguars were in their two-minute offense. And a two-minute offense is a passing offense, is it not?
More so.
Okay, so you can run out of two-minute offense.
Depending on how many timeouts you have.
And I had someone say to me, well, what if we run the ball there, I'm quoting this person, on first down and it gains 2 yards, and now they know we're going to pass and we got a running clock. Well, of course, you had the times out, so that wouldn't have been an issue. I'm not a big play call guy. You know, I'm just, whatever it is, make it work. I'm big on this. First play of the second half, we get an interception off a deflected pass that I believe it was a result of the receiver looking to find the safety. His eyes weren't on the ball. Do I have that right, Gene? Did you happen to see the same thing I'm seeing on that slant? looked to me like Mike's eyes were in the middle of the field, not on the ball, looking for the guy that was going to kabong him. And then when he came back to pick up the ball, it was too late. The ball was on him, and that's a glancing blow. Can't have that. Let's not worry about who's going to hit us. Let's just catch the ball, all right? Also, two-point conversion attempt. They run it in off left tackle. You got to be able to stop that, shouldn't you, Gene?
Well, we stopped the same play earlier in the game.
Okay. If you stop that there, then at the 29-yard line, you definitely are running the ball because you're killing clock and centering it up for the game-winning or game-tying field goal. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to put it all on this. You know, in other words, if the fans want me to believe that if the Jaguars run the ball on 1st and 10 from the 29, the Jaguars win the game. That's absurd. I won't buy that. I won't buy that. Should Maurice Jones-Drew have been more involved late in the game? Probably. He's your best player. So that's my take on the subject.
Yeah, I think it goes back to players over plays. Yeah. You want to make sure when the game's on the line, or certainly in the NFL with the parity that exists, in the fourth quarter, you're utilizing your best players in the best ways. And, you know, you go back to two-minute offense, running the ball and throwing the ball down the middle of the field. I mean, a lot of that's predicated if you have enough timeouts. And certainly in the NFL, you got some timeouts and you got, the two-minute warning. So there's good ways to manage the clock and stay with your offense and attack a defense.
I'm never one to blame coordinators because they just don't play. I hear the complaints, and I think I think that they got a little panicky in that last drive. Yes, I do. But I don't hear anybody complaining about all the plays that got them down to the 29. They were all passes. A pass for 21, a pass for 5, a pass for 13. No one said they shouldn't have thrown that pass to gain 21. They should have run it for 4. I don't have anyone saying that. That's me.
All right. Well, here we are at, just about 22 hours after the game ended or so yesterday, 26 hours, I guess, after the game ended, something like that. Folks have had, past the 24-hour mark here. So folks have had more than a day to digest some of these things. We'll see if there's some different comments. Of course, you can join the conversation via Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. I already have a number of comments that are getting in here, and the best ones will get on the air, and we'll chat with the Jaguars general manager about them as we continue on. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. When we come back, an injury update, one involving the quarterback especially you'll want to hear. Plus, we'll get into the ball game and look ahead a little bit as well. Plus, around the National Football League, boy, an interesting ruling coming down today from the NFL based on a brawl between the Titans and the Texans. Talk about that and more. We continue on. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Here's the handoff, and there goes Jennings trying to cut his feet back. Stays in it. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Rashad Jennings' first touchdown of the year has given the Jaguars a 6-3 lead.
Rashad Jennings with a touchdown run yesterday. The Jaguars came up short in New York. When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. We welcome you back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, along with the senior editor, Vic Ketchman, the general manager, Gene Smith. The time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. The big injury update is one that looked like it could be awful scary. David Garrard, late in the game, just got clobbered. Boy, the Giants have made a living on knocking quarterbacks out this year. I mean, they've got a great pass rush, but I don't know what it is about what they've done. The five guys they've knocked out, 3-1 or 2-1 game against the Bears, I think it was, in a primetime game this year. And David kind of came to the sideline. I thought, oh, geez, here, are we in a situation where he's going to have a concussion or something? But it was a wrist, And x-rays and MRI, both negative, no issue, no break, no sprain. He did have a sort of a wrap on it today. So, he says he'll be ready to go. It is on his left hand, by the way, the non-throwing hand. So that's something to note as well. But that's the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care.
You're looking at me as though you want me to say something. All right, I'll say something.
You were looking at me. I wanted to give you the feed you the rock.
I got a little bit of some chafing today.
All right.
All right. I'm mad at the league. I'm mad at the league. I think the officiating is horrible. Horrible. I don't know what the new guy is doing, but I want Mike Pereira back. The officiating is horrible. Number two, I'm sensing that there are directives going out to these guys when they send them out to their games. They're targeting guys. I'm seeing things that tells me that they're making examples out of players. Great players, James Harrison, great football player. You know that thuggery you saw yesterday in Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Never see James Harrison do that. He never fights.
Right. Just aggressive.
He's a modern-day Lawrence Taylor. They are targeting Lawrence, the equivalent of Lawrence Taylor. They are trying to get Lawrence Taylor out of the game. How dare they? And one more thing. You know, the commissioner, you know, big deal here about being tough on these guys. Code of conduct and not going to allow this, fine that, suspend that, you know, tough, tough, tough. And the behavior just gets worse. I think this whole tough guy crap needs to be revisited.
Well, in terms of the conduct side of things, I'm not sure that behavior has gotten worse. In fact, I think it's gotten a little bit better.
Hasn't gotten worse? He had a guy last week that threw his uniform into the stands.
I'm talking about off the field stuff.
That's not off the field. The stands aren't off the field. He's motioning. He's gesturing to the people. Bring it on. Come on. Boo me. And he's throwing his uniform up into the seats.
I'm talking about the off the field. That was on the field and into the stands. But I'm talking, and you can come up with all you want, Vic, about this situation, that situation, but the total number of arrests and violent crimes and so forth is less. And that's one of the directives, okay?
Now, a guy called out God today.
Yeah, you know, if you want to talk about
guy, blame God for a drop
go
pass.
Get anecdotal if you like.
No,
you
I'm know. Not getting anecdotal. I'm just no. I mean this whole Twitter thing, this whole social networking thing, has made fools out of too many players. It's making fools out of the game, and frankly, the game is taking a lot of its really, really good, tough, hard-nosed players, and it's trying to weed them out.
Now, I do think there's an issue with the James Harrison deal. I mean, and somebody made the comment. I can't recall who it was. It may have been Harrison. To set up your mattress and try to tackle your mattress without hitting your head on it. You know, it's tough to you know to make a tackle like that. If you run full speed, it's something to make a tackle at it. I get you. Now you're talking about the officiating, and we hadn't really gotten into this previously. There hadn't been too much, but you know, obviously Jack made some comments yesterday after the game. One of our Facebook contributors here asked about the pass interference call on Kasim Osgood.
Gene,
do you want to get into that at all?
No, I'm not going to get into the officiating end of it. Certainly, we'll get a ruling from the league. We evaluate the officials as a staff every game, and then they give us feedback from the questions that we have, and we don't have that back yet. So,
am I accurate? I just want to make sure that I know the rule on this, that if a receiver is in press coverage, he can engage the defensive back right there across the line of scrimmage from him. Is that?
Well, you're not supposed to block when the ball is being thrown.
Okay.
That's basically what's spelled out in the rule book. The exception here is the defensive back was in press and engaged with the receiver at basically the same time. So you got the five-yard rule, and they allow hand checking and so forth. So whether the receiver is trying to release, the receiver is trying to block, the defensive back was in a press position jamming the receiver off the line.
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to defeat the jam if you have to put your hands up in the air? No, I'm not doing anything. It's all him. You know, I mean, come on, come on. I think the official was looking right at it. He knew it was press coverage. I don't think he knew the rule. I don't think he knows. I don't think he knew what he was calling.
Well, you know, it happened. The Jaguars ran that play a little bit earlier in the game, if I'm not mistaken. Same personnel group of the whole thing, I think, with Osgood and Thomas on that side.
Right, we had Osgood and we had Zach Miller.
Oh, Zach Miller.
Both doing the same thing on that play. And, again, it was a defensive back in press position jamming our receiver off the line. So it wasn't an off receiver. It was a situation where two players engaged in contact.
I didn't see the pass interference on Kevin Boss that cost Mario Manningham a touchdown. Did you see it? If it was there, it was really, really ticky-tacky. I mean, you know, when are the officials going to understand we're not there to see them? I liked it better when they had the replacement guys that just, you know, put on the uniforms and did nothing. How many years ago was that? 6, 7, 8 years ago? That was better.
Yeah, quite a few years ago. All right, let's get some other comments and questions in here from folks on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. T asked, do we have the personnel to play more man defense? The zones are getting exposed frequently. So is there a certain type of guy you want in there for man versus zone?
Well, guys that usually are good in press man are some guys with length and not necessarily always height, but long arms because they can press and they can disrupt, you know, the receiver's release and certainly disrupt timing in the passing game. The one thing that we did in the second half is we started to press them more, and our corners did a good job once we played close in alignment of taking their receivers at times out of the game. So on the outside, I thought we did some good things there as the game went on. But obviously we didn't make enough plays when we needed to win the game.
And, of course, if you talk about wanting to blitz more, that usually means man coverage for two reasons. One, it frees up an extra body to get in there. Number two, if you're going to get pressure, you don't have to cover as far down the field. And a lot of folks have said in the past, hey, you can only cover so long. Even if you're a great cornerback, you can only cover a receiver for so long. At some point, an NFL receiver is going to find a way to get away from you. The question is, can you in the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds, whatever it is, can you cover them that long while the pass pressure's coming?
No. I mean, again, it's a combination. You got to try to affect the throw, and if you can't affect the throw, you try to affect the catch. And, you know, we did not get probably as much pressure as we would have liked to have on their quarterback. They do an excellent job. I mean, they're first in the NFL in sacks given up of protecting their quarterback, and they do it a number of different ways through keeping additional people in their protection, moving the quarterback some on some misdirection play action so he's not sitting in one spot. And then they don't get away from the run game. They really know who they are. So I think it's a combination thing of things why they're so successful protecting their quarterback when they've had some injuries in their offensive line.
Which is a big part. I mean, you keep your quarterback in there, you're going to have a chance.
I want to engage you in conversation about the division race. I've got lots of things I want to bounce off you. I'll start by just saying that when we come back from the break, we'll do that. Okay?
Yes.
All right. We'll also, when we come back, have a chance to show you something or mention something to you that take a little sting off the loss and might make you feel pretty good as we head into the month of December as far as where the Jaguars are right now. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least $10 of 10 gallons of gate gasoline. You get $2 in Jagbucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
30 seconds left. David in the shotgun with Drew. Takes the ball, drops the throw, has some time, now being chased, looks, turns, and now wants to run. And he's looking back. He's got room to run. David's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. David Garrard running right, then left. And the Jaguars get the end zone.
Terrific scramble for a touchdown by David Garrard yesterday. Part of the Jaguars' loss in New York to the Giants, actually in New Jersey. Don't want to slight New Jersey at all. The new Meadowlands Stadium. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. Reminds you to test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. All right, we'll get back to some comments and questions from folks on Facebook here in just a bit. The NFL Every year around this time, we're the 29th of December. This is the first week when games will be played in the month of December. Put up on, well, now it's on the website. Used to be they'd send out releases and so forth. But now on NFL.com, you can click to see the playoff picture if the season ended today. If the season ended today, the Giants would play at the Eagles. The Saints would play at the Rams. Falcons and Bears would have the bye in the NFC. In the AFC, the Ravens and Jets would have the bye. The Steelers would play at the Chiefs, and the Patriots would play here at Everbank Field against the Jaguars in the first round of the playoffs.
Write that down, and I'll bet you none of it happens, because the season doesn't end now.
It does not, but you know what? This does put it in perspective of where things are as it stands right now. I know you've been doing a lot of scenarios with what can and could happen.
Yeah, I got one, folks, you can count on. Forget about that crap. You can count on this and hold me to it, and if it turns out that this happens and the Jaguars don't win the division title, then throw stones at me. Well, I make it tomatoes. I promise
hard
you.
Tomatoes,
I guarantee that if the Jaguars win four of the remaining five games, and if one of those wins is in Indianapolis, they will win the division title.
It would be 10 wins and a sweep of the Colts, so you'd have the head-to-head tiebreaker.
And the Colts, of course, will also have no more than 10 wins.
Right.
And you win the tiebreaker. The head-to-head trumps everything. And I'm not even counting the other guys, because the Texans have to play the Ravens and the Eagles yet, and the Jaguars, of course. And the Titans, are they going to score again? I mean, you know, who knows where that situation is going? I got the sandwich maker. I mean, that's not going to work. Is there any chance of getting Collins back?
Yes.
For this week?
Yes.
That's not good. But I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with the Titans have got a tough road, mm-hmm. and I don't think a calf injury is going to make Collins any better. But I'm sticking with that. Win four, which means you still have one to give, but it can't be in Indianapolis. Win four, and one of those wins be in Indianapolis, and Jaguars will win the division. Now, Gene, having said all that, what are your thoughts on the division race? I mean, this looks doable, doesn't it?
Well, I think we're in a position that at the start of the year, if you could have said, would you want to be in this scenario where you control your own destiny on November 29th, you would say, certainly.
Yeah.
You'd love to be in this position. So I know it was a difficult loss yesterday, okay? But there were some very good things done in that game, okay, on the road. Statistically, you could say we dominated the game, but we lost it, okay? So I'm very happy with where we're at. There's been progress made, throughout the season. This team is improving. We got a chance to get hot here, and we just really need to focus in on the Tennessee Titans and try to get a road win up in Nashville.
Do you know, if you look at the four teams in this division, the Jaguars are the hot team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've won three of their last four. The Colts have lost three of their last four, and last night, I mean, they looked like roadkill. The Titans are in a terrible way. I don't know how many in a row now they've lost, but they're in a very bad way, and they're coming off a shutout. The Texans have they got a win yesterday for the first time.
Titans, by the way, have lost four of the last five.
Okay, and the Texans like five.
Four straight.
The Texans like five or six of the last seven or something like that.
They're also four of their last five losses.
So I mean, you know, when you look at that. The Jaguars are the hot team. Am I crazy?
Well,
I mean,
by
for
what
saying
Cole
that,
said,
I know
we're certainly hotter than the other teams in our division right now. But what we want to do is we want to keep that flame burning hot. So hopefully this weekend we'll take care of business.
What concerns you the most about this team as it stands right now? Let me help you out with that. When I say this, your team yesterday didn't have any sacks. That concerns me a little, you know, because the sack guy is gone. Campman.
I think we can create more rush with personnel and with scheme. We certainly did it 2 weeks ago. We can do it again. down the stretch. We played a team, like I said, that's tied for first in sacks given up in the league. It was a great challenge for us.
I mean, fewest sacks given up in the league.
That is correct. The Giants.
Yeah.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. But from my end, I think it's from this point on staying healthy. I think it's for any team that wants to be in the hunt at the end. What I was very happy about in the game, with the exception of the last drive, is how well, Guy Wimper came in and played at left tackle, a very difficult position to play against a very good pass rusher. And then certainly Jordan Black held his own. I think, you know, when you play against better pass rushers, you certainly got to give your tackles some help. And I felt like throughout the game with the ability to run the football and enable them to do a good job pass protecting because the defensive lineman had to convert their rush.
You've got a hot back. Maurice Jones-Drew is... four straight 100-yard games. Can he carry you?
I think he can. I think right now he's certainly playing as good as any running back in the NFL, and I'm glad he's a teammate of mine. I know yesterday he would have liked to have gotten the ball more down the stretch. He feels like he can carry this team, and, I feel like he can too. He's got a tremendous fullback, aligning in front of him. He's got a good companion back, Rashad Jennings, who gave us quality snaps yesterday. So I feel like, we can do some good things down the stretch.
Let's get some comments and questions in here from some of the listeners on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. One of the questions wanted to know about Sean Considine. Had been injured, but has made some plays here the last couple of weeks. How do you assess his play?
Well, he has. He's come in our sub packages and done a good job. The unfortunate thing for Sean, when he has played for us, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and some of that is bad luck. But the guy who stood out talking about the safety group was Courtney Green, and I'm not talking about for the one play where he missed a tackle and it became a touchdown. With the exception of that one play, he played as good as any defensive player we had yesterday.
Is that right? And most folks will comment, will focus on the one play. That's the one they see. Safeties and offensive linemen are often, singled out for what they don't do versus what they do, especially when you watch on TV and you only see so much of it. But Green played a good game then, huh?
Yes.
I got a feeling of deja vu yesterday. And it goes back to the 2007 season. Do you remember it was the first week of December, so it was a little bit beyond where we are now, but probably the same point in the season. Jaguars lost in Indianapolis, 28-25, a heartbreaking loss. Oh, and it was great angst. I should have done this and should have done that. And then this team went on a run in December. Remember that? Of course, carried it to the playoffs. And the record was much better. I think I'm looking at it now. I think they were 8-4 after that game. And the Jaguars are 6-5 now. Let me see if I got that right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. 8-4. And, of course, now they're 6-5. So it was a better record. But they needed to have a better record to make it into the playoffs then. I mean, you couldn't win the division even with 11 wins then. I think you can win it. In fact, I feel strongly you can win it with 10 this year. And I'm seeing a little bit of parallel. I'm getting a little feeling that this could be 2007 all over again. I know that's a romantic notion, but I'm getting that feeling.
Well, I'm getting that feeling, too, only because what I see at practice, I see a group of players that enjoy playing football, especially late in the year. They have a strong passion for their profession, and this is a group where all of them get along. They all have respect for each other. It's not offense versus defense or whatever. You have special team players. You'll see Kasim Osgood and Montel Owens. When the defense is coming out on the field, they're juicing them up. When the offense is coming off the field, maybe in adversity, the defense is trying to pick them up. This is I think, a special group of players. I really do. And I would be shocked down the stretch here if you didn't see a team giving it their very best, because I thought they laid it on the line yesterday, and the bottom line though in the NFL, is, you know, effort only matters if you execute. I mean, effort only matters if you execute at anything. But in the NFL, I know it's true because it was evident yesterday.
You know what drove that December run in 2007? Do you remember what drove it? Fire that powered that run?
Well, I'd like to see a running game.
You got it. Fred and Mo in the running game. The offensive line dug in. And this team just mauled.
And started scoring 30 points a game there in the stretch. And mm-hmm. So for folks, and anybody who's listened to Vic or I for any length of time, know that we both like the running game. And anybody who, you know, said, well, you got to pass to win. Well, I mean, you can pass and score big points, but you can score big points by running the football as well. It's not just about throwing the football.
No question, Cole. And the other thing about running the ball, not only does it help your pass protection, but it takes possessions away from the opposing offense. It helps your defense out. So, I mean, we just have to play to the strength of this roster, and I feel like our coaching staff is certainly trying to do that. And down the stretch, you know, if Maurice is a guy that we have to, you know, give more opportunities to win games, then that's what we have to do. And I trust that Dirk and the offensive staff will.
And, you know, he'll welcome that, too. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take time out. More comments from our Facebook posters and more with the general manager, Gene Smith. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth. Right here on Jaguars Radio.
Now, this is not a gimme kick for Josh Scobie. Scobie's going to try to deliver this from 42 yards. They give the Jaguars a 20-17 lead, 8.5 to play. Almost 43. Right to left across your radio dial. Into a little bit of wind. With the snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. This one is end over end over end, and he got it. Josh Scobie delivers the lead to the Jaguars. 8:26 to go. Jacksonville back on top 20-17. And with that field goal, Josh Scobie's kick for kids just donated another $250 to Wilson's Children's Hospital.
And the Jaguars with their second half lead there based on the Scobie field goal. We welcome you back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth. Welcome to Teal Town. 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game, check out Teal Town. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers, admission free with no game ticket required, Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. All right, we have about six more minutes here. Let's get to some of the other comments and questions from folks who have chimed in here on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Brent asks, if you had a choice between having a top five quarterback, a top five cornerback, or a top five defensive end, which would you take?
A quarterback.
Is it easy? Is it a landslide in that direction? Are those the other cornerback and defensive end right now, the other toughest areas to get those impact players?
Well, I think they're all premium positions. I just think if you rank them, at least for me, the quarterback's on top.
How about top five blonde, brunette, or redhead?
If it's top five, you're doing well in any case, right? That's a can't-miss prospect.
I'm going for the redhead.
Paul asking about
I did the brunette and the blonde.
you're gonna it may be a fork catching time for you tonight. Paul posts any progress on being able to keep Mercedes Lewis here long term.
Well, that's something that'll take place after the season, and certainly that is a priority. We think a lot of Mercedes as a player and as a person, so hopefully he'll be a long term player here.
And if he isn't, they'll put the franchise tag on him.
and he's
not going anywhere.
If the franchise tag still exists in this offseason.
By the way, he has just turned into a great go-to guy in the locker room for me, along with Terrence Knighton. Those two guys have become must-stops on my tour of the post-game locker room.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a rookie who, you know, gets through it. I thought Terrence, I think Eugene Monroe's another guy who feel a lot more comfortable in their own, you know, role this year. Is that you're right? When you talk to these guys, when you're scouting them, when you're finding them, are you thinking about what kind of leadership and what kind of intangibles they might have in terms of, you know, locker room presence and that sort of thing?
No question. When you look at patterns of performance, whether it's on the field or off the field. You're looking at some players that you're talking about with their degrees or one semester shy of having their degree. You're talking about guys who are leaders on their college football teams, guys who give back to their communities. I mean, these are tremendous human beings and who happen to be great football players.
All right, the Jaguars right now are fourth in the National Football League in rushing, in running offense. Were you in there when I gave the pop quiz earlier? Do you know the three teams that are ahead of the Jaguars right now?
In rushing?
Uh-huh.
I do not.
Kansas City's number one. The Jets are number two. And the Eagles are number three. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some of that's powered by Michael
teams.
Vick. All teams that are in the playoff picture that are not just in the, but are, again, if the season ended today, Vick's least favorite phrase, if the season ended today, all playoff teams. So maybe the running game is not completely passé.
Colts didn't run it very well last night.
No, they didn't do much well last night, actually.
Oh, man. What's happened there? Is that a case of his receivers aren't getting open early and quickly enough and his blockers aren't holding their blocks long enough?
Well, I think it's a situation this year that a lot of teams have had to deal with. They're just having some injuries. They've had some fortunate years where they stayed healthy. So that's a big part of it for the Colts this year. You know, I'm with Cole on running the football. It's maybe an old brand of football, but it's a winning brand of football. Going into last weekend, there were seven teams rushing the ball for over 300 attempts. And we were one of them, and so was the Giants. And I think it gives you a chance to win every Sunday. And with the parity in the league, and again with the personnel we have on our team, I think it plays to our strengths.
Yeah, I'm always been a big run the ball guy. I mean, huge. However, in recent years, I just can't ignore what the league is requiring its teams to do to win. And if yards rushing doesn't produce points, then it's no good. You've got to score points in this league. If you can do it running the ball, oh, that's wonderful. Now you're getting the points and time of possession. Mm-hmm. But the old days of just get the time of possession, that's not good enough.
I think it's touchdowns or first downs. And if you're not scoring touchdowns, you better be getting first downs.
And that's the one of the goals for the Jaguars on Sunday.
If we have more time, I'd like to hear more on that.
Against the Titans. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter. Tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton, the head coach, at 6 o'clock. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Wednesday with Vic, Brian, and Jeff. And then, of course, we'll have the broadcast beginning at 10 o'clock on Sundays. The Jaguars will be in Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show gets things started at 10, followed by Jaguars pregame and kickoff at 1 o'clock. For producer Joe Fortunato, for the general manager Gene Smith, for the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth, and good night from Jaguar Central.